Hi, this is Dave Allen sitting in for Melody Cederstrom until she's able to join us. She's having some technical difficulties. Excuse me. Sorry, I was there for a second as well. You're listening to Financial Survival. It's Monday, August 5th, 2019. Melody and I will be bringing you our opinions and commentary on today's political and economic events. Let's see. Let's start off with a market report. And a banner day, another banner day for gold and silver, platinum and palladium. Gold up around 1461. That's up 1.4%. Silver up to $16.38 an ounce. That's up about 1.2%. Platinum up 1.5% at $8.55. Palladium also up a little over 1% at just south of 1422. Let's see here in the paper markets. Very interesting day.
And I'm here, Dave.
Hi there, Melody.
Hi.
Sorry, you want to take it over from here?
Sure, I can do that. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. You know, computers, but there's a lot of action on the markets today. And we had the Dow plunge more than 950 points. Of course, after China devalued their currency, they left it drop below what their normal range was. And but the Dow did recover somewhat. We're now looking final numbers coming through at about 7666. How about that? 766 points to the downside at 25,718, 2.89% drop. NASDAQ was down almost 3.5%, 7,726, down 278. The S&P was down 87 points at 2,844. This is what I was interested in. It shouldn't come as a surprise, but to which the speed and how rapid the 10-year yield has dropped, it's 1.74%. 1.74% down now, 0.112. It just surprises me. But then again, it shows just how many people are going into the bond market looking for safety, and it will just be a matter of time until that money begins to flow into gold. You'll always see that first reaction first, the first knee-jerk reaction, because they can move a lot of money in a very short period of time. And you know what's interesting, Dave? Oh, Germany overnight was down over 4%. They brought it back to just a little under 2%. Hong Kong was down about almost 3%. They had a big market. London was down 2.5%. But Germany was the biggest. I mean, I couldn't believe it was down over 4%. And they brought it back to just under 2. So, and you can always see these big changes as you see the European markets. I believe they close at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So you'll always see, you know, gold. That's when we saw gold correct. Gold was up much higher today, but that's when we saw it pull back a little bit when the European markets closed. And so
take a look at Germany's 10-year bond note. That's yielding at negative 0.522 today. That's Japan negative 0.2, their 10-year note as well. So things are nuts today.
Yeah, the yields are plunging, as you mentioned, all around the globe. And the big question is, how low are they going to go? And that means people are so worried about what's going on that they're willing to pay. Why wouldn't you just buy gold? But they will. I mean, why would you? You know, of course, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars. But I mean, it baffles me. It just baffles me why people are so willing to take and accept negative rates. It just doesn't even make sense. I mean, not to when they're falling as deep as they are. As you mentioned, the British 10-year, that fell to its lowest level ever. And, you know, but we had this world stocks plunged, and this they're blaming all of it on the trade war between the United States and China. And of course, after China's currency fell below a very important psychological level, these yields can go lower. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in a little bit. Now it's even more of a, it's more positive that we're going to be heading into the recession if you base these, what we're seeing in the of yields, the inversions that we're seeing. And so we'll be talking about that in a little bit, but it really is fascinating. And, you know, we started to see this turnaround after President Trump announced the additional 10% on China's We got to get to the point where you end up finishing my statements and I finish yours. But, they were going to add more
stimulus?
No. When they increased the tariffs on Friday, 10% on the Chinese products.
Retaliation?
This is what we're seeing. The markets begin to fall apart on Friday and they continue through for today. So, there was a comment from this Brendan Mulhern. He's a global strategist with Newton Investment Management. He says, why on earth are investors buying treasuries and European bonds with negative yields? And it's just what I said. It's because you want to hold the safest asset you can find. No, ladies and gentlemen, the safest asset that you can find is gold. So they'll learn. So not only are they going to get negative rates, they're also going to lose on their other paper investments. China also said today, I think we're going to talk about that, aren't we, Dave, that China said it's going to stop buying U.S. agricultural products?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just go on, get on with what we're supposed to be talking about instead of me just rambling on here. And so again, we mentioned that the yuan tumbled to the weakest level in more than a decade and asked state-owned companies to suspend imports of all U.S. agricultural products. And stocks, emerging market currencies, they sank on concerns a prolonged conflict between the superpowers would weigh on global economic growth. We've seen all the safe havens, including gold, ladies and gentlemen, the yen, the U.S. treasuries have been piling in there. It's among the worst case scenarios, said Michael Avery of Rabobank in Hong Kong. First markets sell off, then Trump wakes up, and this all gets far, far worse.
Another analyst, I think he has the quote of the day, in referring to China's retaliation, he said, on a scale of 1 to 10, China's reaction is an 11. Sort of shows the weightiness of what's going on, the increased volatility, and the resulting changes in the paper market on the one hand and the precious metals on the other. Now, in a statement published Monday evening in Beijing, the People's Bank of China Governor Yi Gang said China is not and will not use the yuan as a tool to deal with trade disputes. He said, Yi, I am fully confident that the yuan will remain a strong currency in spite of recent fluctuations amid external uncertainties. A prudent, if not disingenuous, statement, Melody, from Chinese officials. President Trump last week proposed adding 10% tariffs on another $300 billion in Chinese imports starting September 1st, abruptly ramping up the trade war between the world's two largest economies shortly after the two sides had restarted talks, or so it seemed anyway. Chinese bureaucrats were stunned by Trump's announcement, according to officials who were involved in negotiations last week. Xi Jinping, that is, had already faced pressure for weeks to take a harder stand on trade, particularly after the U.S. blacklisted telecom equipment giant Huawei.
All the editorials in the state-run newspapers suggested that Xi will reject any deal. that either retains punitive tariffs or forces China to make concessions on issues like the state-run enterprises that would weaken the party's grip on the power. And so, you know, this is truly political. This is financial. This is, you know, if they halt the agricultural purchases, I mean, that's going to kill Trump, you know, for his election. And, you know, in a lot of those politically sensitive states. And and we already talked about the yuan weakening. And again, this is, you know, what really set the stage. And I remember this happened once again back in 2015. I know this goes back. The yuan hasn't been this low for a long, long time. But I remember when they let the yuan fall. I think it was 2015. Silver went through the roof. It had a huge, huge increase in silver. Times are different. Our financial, our economies are different, even from 2015. But yeah, it's I personally, I could never understand. I think both countries have a lot to lose. I'm just not sure who has the stronger bargaining position.
Well, we'll sure find out, won't we? If this continues as I expect it will. For the foreseeable future. You know, China's central bank attributed the yuan move to protectionism and expectations of additional tariffs on Chinese goods. These must be those external influences. Now, Julian Evans Pritchard at Capital Economics in Singapore said, by linking today's devaluation with the renewed tariff threat, the People's Bank of China has effectively weaponized the exchange rate. He went on to say the fact that they have now stopped defending seven, which was the, you know, the yuan's, seven yuan's against the dollar, suggests they have all but abandoned hopes for a trade deal. Very interesting. Now, you know, this could certainly, and I'm tempted to say almost certainly, will result in another tat for the this from the U.S., who's frequently warned that tariffs could go much higher. That is, the 10% on the $300 billion could go to 25%. Crazy stuff. Markets reacting almost instantaneously. Although I'm sure, again, we're going to see some corrections tomorrow, probably, which will just further reinforce my theory that there's just too much computerized algorithmic trading on the world's markets today that ought to be somehow controlled or eliminated, Melody.
Well, I don't think this is just all about the trade. I think it also has a lot to do with Taiwan. I know we were selling weapons to Taiwan, and I know China really has a big issue. You know, that is... And so, you know, I think it's coupled with a lot of things. And but Dave, last week when they came back from where'd they come back from, Shanghai or wherever they were at, you know, with these trade talks, they were there less than 24 hours.
Right.
It's like things couldn't have gone very well. And that's what we said on this program. How well could have gone? You were only there for 24 hours.
You know, they probably spent more in airplane fuel than they. You know, they got in, you know, the value of trade, any potential trade deal.
You know, and we've seen them play this game. We've seen them play this game with the markets. One minute, we all things are great with the trade deals and markets go up. Next thing you know, info was leaked out. Markets not, you know, trade agreements not doing so well. Markets went down. How many times do we see that yo-yo? And all of these comments, one minute it was going up, one minute it was going down. And you know what? I get the markets, and you know I'm not. You know, a lot of people are going to get hurt. So my question is, I think the game went on a little too long, and I'm not quite sure where this all ends. If this is the first domino, is this the first domino that really is going to bring a lot more headache and financial ache to? People's retirement accounts. Now that's what it's. Oh, you're loud. But you know, I think it was me. But so, you know, we don't know where this is going to go. And, you know, the biggest damage from the trade wars as far as the hit to business activity and confidence, that comes from increased uncertainty rather than the tariffs themselves. And I told you I talked to a businessman last week. He says, yeah, 25 cents is nothing. China is still so cheap. We're not going to go anywhere. We're still going to buy the product. So I don't know what the cap was, whether it be 25%, 35%, 50%. I don't know if there is a cap to what we can charge for tariffs, but they're right. They haven't whittled down to the consumer yet. China's crop imports from the U.S. is just another weapon at Beijing's disposal. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see if the firms have really truly stopped buying American farm goods. Here goes another, you know, $16 billion to the farmers. And, you know, people say, well, the U.S. consumer hasn't been hit yet by the tariffs. Well, I beg to differ. The taxpayers have, just by paying the subsidies to the farmers. That's all coming out of our pockets. So we have been hit. So, but people don't look at it that way. They don't even talk about these you know, subsidies to the farmers and who are getting them. The large conglomerates, farmers, are the ones that are getting the biggest crop of the billions of dollars that are going out. So, you know, privately owned Chinese firms that had received retaliatory tariff waivers on American soybeans from Beijing, they have also stopped buying the commodity. And this was, remember, Dave, China was going to buy trillions of dollars of stuff.
Indeed. Indeed. Although they, one of their officials replied to that some deals haven't been completed because the prices aren't competitive, presumably for, you know, the Chinese, particularly the privately owned Chinese firms. So it's a time of spin, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be tough, and it's going to take some time to read between the lines to try and, you know, get some clarity from all of this posturing on both sides. It's not going to be a fun time for those heavily invested in paper and in 401ks in particular. So stay tuned. You know, you'll get the truth from us. And as Melody implores you every day of the week, make sure an adequate portion of your investments are in gold and silver.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back right after this short break. Thank you for listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Oh, what a hectic day it is here at Discount Gold and Silver with everything going on. Markets going down. Gold and silver just doing extremely well. Very proud of my my children, Gold and Silver, and they've done extremely well. So, and we have a little special today. It's 90% silver. I think I've explained to you listeners before that when we buy bags of silver, lots of times we'll pull out some of the ones that are a little more worn and so forth, and because we don't ship those to you. You know, we go through them, and we pull out, you know, the ones I think are too worn or too dirty, if they're just completely black. So then they just add up after, you know, a little period of time. They add up, and then I will usually sell that at a very reduced price. I have 228 face value, 90% silver. It's circulated, and I'm selling it at 50 cents back of spot. That's back of spot. So for 228 face, it's $2,600. So it really is a very good buy, and you get a lot of silver. You get a little over 160 ounces of silver for $2,600. So go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And let's see. And we do want to sell the whole thing at once. We don't want to break it up in little baggies or any, you know, 25 face. It's $2,600. There's one of them there. 50 cents back a spot. 800-375-4188. Let's get back to what we were talking about. And of course, we were talking about the drop in the yuan. And I guess another company is, you know, it's getting a little redundant now that, you know, all these, you know, financial planners and banks and so forth are continuing to, all of a sudden now they see a recession coming and so forth, Dave. But, you know, here's another one who's beginning to say the same thing. And, you know, maybe people will finally get the idea that we know one is coming if we're not in one already.
Well, you know, the trade dispute has pushed the widely watched Treasury market recession indicator to the highest alert since 2007, right before the Great Recession. As you mentioned, rates on 10-year notes sank. Actually, they were below 1.74 at around 3 p.m. today, close to completely erasing the surge that followed Donald Trump's 2016 election. In early trading this morning, they fetched as much as 32 basis points, less than three-month bills, the most extreme yield curve inversion since just before the 2008 crisis. Now, major investors expect this slide in 10-year yields to continue, given the risks this creates for markets. Count BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, foresees 1.5%, Melody, given that the Fed and other central banks are poised to ease. They expect investors to turn to even more aggressive positioning for rate cuts. He says the signal from the curve suggests money markets should be pricing in a higher probability of the Fed's policy rate going to zero in the coming year.
Well, you know what? I mentioned 1.5%, the week before, that's where we were headed. That's where the 10-year yield was heading. So it's nice to know that, you know, these guys who think they're so smart confirm what I'm saying.
But, indeed. I mean, we're glad they're getting the gospel, the Cedarstrom gospel.
But you know what? If the U.S. continues to raise the tariffs on these Chinese goods in the coming months and China responds, you know, of course there's going to be a global recession in three quarters. I'm not so sure that, the trade spat, you know, how much are they using that in order just to cover up that these world economies are in a recession, that things aren't going well. And, it's all how the information is released and so forth. And so Morgan Stanley believes a global recession is going to come in about 9 months, but they're blaming it all on the trade war. Well, what if these global economies are just ready for a recession, period? Because things just aren't as good as what they tell us to do, and they're going to use the trade war as the excuse.
Well, they're certainly on the verge of recession, if not in one in places. I think we can make the argument, and perhaps that's what Morgan Stanley and some of these other big Wall Streeters are suggesting. I only wish they'd be, a little more honest, is that it's just, a ratcheting up of this trade war between the U.S. and China could be the event. We talk about different events that could have this spillover effect and really send gold, silver, and other precious metals soaring into the sky. And this trade war is obviously that. It's not the major event that's gotten us to this point, although some people suggest that it's had a big impact over the last year and a half. But clearly, these new tariffs kick in September 1st, China does the same or uses devaluation to get back at the U.S., you better hold on for the ride, ladies and gentlemen, and start planning how much gold you're going to be buying with whatever disposable income you have at your beck and call.
But I think the oil market is also getting hit a little bit, and I'm going to try to find an article, something about a drop in truckers and truck orders. I mean, it's dropped 80%.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go ahead and continue this about the oil. And so the shockwave is, through all markets, including the oil markets, and there'll be more of these to come. You have a series of tanker attacks, drone downings, and saber rattling around the Strait of Hormuz that has had little impact on the oil prices. Perhaps oil traders don't believe the world's most important oil choke point will really be closed for tanker traffic. So while this harassment of vessels using the waterway that might continue, more serious escalation, maybe unlikely, at least without further provocation. In contrast, the announcement of the U.S. would impose 10% tariffs on the remaining 300 goods. It did put enough, there was enough to put a send oil prices into a tailspin, Dave.
Yeah. Bear with me one second. I'm just looking for that article that I just passed that on to you. Now, the U.S. benchmark West Texas Intermediate crude fell by as much as 4% in the 15 minutes after President Trump's tweet and ended the day down almost 8%. Those additional tariffs and the ones already imposed are creating headwinds for 100 million barrels a day of global oil demand. I mean, that's a much bigger worry than threats to disrupt crude flows through the Strait of Hormuz, which are only about a tenth of that volume. The International Energy Agency, whose forecasts are closely watched by oil traders and analysts, has been slashing its oil demand growth estimates for the first half of this year. At the beginning of this year, the agency saw pretty consistent growth, a little over 1.4 million barrels a day, with the first half looking slightly stronger than the second. Now, over the next 6 months, that picture has changed dramatically.
estimates of demand growth for the now finished first half of the year have been cut to just 560,000 barrels a day. And this forecast for the second half has surged to almost 1.8 million. The IEA points to an expected stronger growth in the OECD and the fact that the oil prices are lower than they were a year ago to support its stronger second half forecast, but that's unlikely to last. So,
yeah. Well, the thing I find most not convincing, but interesting, even though I consider the source Bank of America, you know, oil price is already down 20% from its 2019 high of $66 a barrel in April. Well, the Bank of America says the prices could crash by another $30 if China decides to buy Iranian crude. But that's a story for another day.
Well, that is pretty. And again, you know what, Dave? It's all interconnected. We really don't know. You know, because I'm talking about if China decides to buy Iranian crude oil, that's another thing they have in their hand of cards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would stop them from buying Iranian crude?
Well, it's certainly, you know, quote, pressure from the U.S. You know, it certainly would not bode well for any trade deal. Should they do that? But that could be telling as one of the tools China has in its pocket that could really play games, if not havoc, with the U.S. Now, in other news, we're seeing that escalating tensions over the trade war sent investors also, you know, we mentioned the relative safety of the bond market late last week, not to mention gold, and that pushed the yield in the 10-year Treasury down sharply. You know, the average mortgage rate in the popular 30-year fixed hit 3.7% on Friday. That's the lowest since November 2016. And that rate will likely dip even lower this week as bond yields continue to fall under 1.75%. Now, the drop last week meant that over 8 million 30-year mortgage holders could likely qualify for a refinance and save at least 75 basis points off their current interest rate by doing so. The size of that population, however, is still very sensitive to even the slightest rate moves, since so many borrowers have already financed very low rates. Just 1/8 of a point move lower could add another 1.5 million borrowers to the eligible refinance pool. And the same move in the other direction could knock 1.3 million out. So you got to pay close attention.
Absolutely. And here we were talking about the orders for Class 8 trucks. It's the trucks that haul part of the economy's goods across this country, collapsed by 81% in July compared to July last year, to 9,800 units. This is the lowest since 2010. And this is according to the FTR Transportation Intelligence on Friday. It is the ninth month in a row of year-over-year declines. I'm not sure declines is probably not the right word. This year so far, these year-over-year declines range from 52% to 81%, and that is a collapse. That is collapse. Fleets continue to wait and see the approach to 2020 equipment. So it was, let's see if there's anything else interesting in that article. Other than the collapse...
Did that article touch on a long time ago? I read about the relationship between trucking rates and inflation, and it suggested, as I recall, at least an indirect relationship, and I'm reminded of that because what you're saying there with that such a drastic drop, if it becomes all of a sudden, if there's not the supply of trucks to transport our food, for example, you know, all across the country in many cases, or, you know, parts across parts of the country, one of a couple things could happen. I mean, one, the truckers that are available, because supply of transportation is less, could charge more. And certainly, some or all of that's going to be passed along to the consumer. And you know, if that becomes a long-term problem, you know, you can see, you know, inflation, particularly, and this is significant, I think, because it's part of the core index that the Fed and others look at when determining interest rate decisions. So, you know, if there are less trucks, prices could go up due to related factors. It could take longer to get some of our food. We could see, and it's not just food, but I'm using that as an example because it's such an important part of price inflation indexes. So that's an interesting development, and one I think we should keep our eyes on, Melody.
And, you know, the freight volume in terms of shipments by all modes of transportation, truck, rail, barge, air, they've all been declining on a year-over-year basis for the seventh month in a row in June. According to the Case Freight Index for shipments, July shipments to be reported in mid-August will likely show 8 months in a row of declines. So again, ladies and gentlemen, where's the boom? These were all based, people went out and based everything on the tax cuts, but that's running out of steam. The tax cut benefits are done. The benefits, it's run their course. We hit its stride in late 2017, and the rate of growth peaked during the second quarter of 2018, and we've been on a decline ever since. After adjusting for inflation, the economy grew at an annual rate of 2.1% during the second quarter, and that's down from the first 3.1%. But that was surprisingly high. So again, these numbers are reversing the tax cut. Just like Ronald Reagan's tax cut, it only lasts for a year, year and a half. Then he had then his debt increased 128%. I think it was 123. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt of the lower number. 123%. We've all look at our debt now. We're on the same path. How can anybody feel good? I guess it's good if you're working, you're getting that paycheck in. That's something to feel good about. But how are you going to keep it? You know, it's one thing to have a job and do well and everything, but don't fool yourself into thinking that all the numbers and all the lip service that we get out of D.C. is the truth. Anyway, we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. I know that is the truth. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It needs to be updated. And you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Welcome back. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Today, our newsletter, you go to the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, sign up for the newsletter. And, of course, we're going to have Dave's article in there, and he talks about the end of the 1987 INF Treaty, which I do think it's important. And to me, what I think is more important about this article than anything is actually the timing of the ending of the treaty. I mean, I'm sure both countries have abused this treaty. I don't know who was following up on it, checking on it to make sure that either country didn't abuse it and so forth and whatnot. But, I mean, and nuclear, we've talked about all the high-tech weaponry that has been since created. Would any of that even fall under this agreement, Dave? I don't know.
Well, sure. But, that was the main reason for it. It's all about nuclear capability, nuclear carrying capability.
No. I'm talking about the new the technology of weaponry, not nuclear. I'm talking about lasers and robots and, you know, all these kind of things that
transcend the nuclear.
They probably are not covered under this. So it probably is an antiquated agreement that needed to be updated, but anyway, that's how I view it. But the timing, I think, is important. It's the timing to me that's scary when we see what all else is going on and around the world, and how close we hear wars and rumors of wars, and we see these tensions with China and Taiwan and the demonstrations in Hong Kong and North Korea and South Korea, and I mean, heavens, hold my breath. And I also, I don't know if you have anything, did you hear anything about Brexit? I heard that's not Brexit is dead or something from what I heard briefly, and I wanted to follow up on it, and I hadn't had a chance to before the program.
I don't see how that's possible. Brexit can only be overturned by a vote of the UK's voters.
I think they said it's not going to be done by October 31st.
So, that's different.
Or something.
We're talking about a no deal Brexit.
Yeah. But so anyway, get our newsletter, ladies and gentlemen, and read the article. And we do appreciate you. Wendy Wilson has an article in there. I also post Doug Nolan's articles in there that he does on a weekly basis. And we'll have a little more up to news. Maybe we'll send out a couple of. Depending on what the markets are doing tomorrow and so forth, maybe we can get you some updated information and keep you posted on that. And as long as gold keeps rising, I'm going to start posting pricing on coins so you guys can see the increases and so forth. $20 gold pieces, there's a couple good deals still out there on the $20 pre-33 coins. And, of course, bullion premiums are beginning. All you need is days like this. And Friday, and you'll be seeing those premiums just beginning to increase day over day. So don't wait, ladies and gentlemen. Americans earning just 4% more than 2009. That's not a whole lot, is it? Not when you have inflation. And, you know, 10 years after that, things have bounced back a little bit, but wages still remain stagnant. In 2019, Americans between the ages of 25 and 54 are earning just 4% more than they did in 2009, after adjusting for inflation. Today's typical wages have about the same purchasing power they did more than 40 years ago. That's pathetic, Dave. 40 years ago, the $4.03 an hour rate occurred in January of 1973, had the same purchasing power that $23.68 would have today. Oh, but there's no inflation in this country. And this is according to Pew.
Yeah, I mean, these stagnant wages, you know, make it difficult for young people in particular to reach the same financial milestones as their parents or grandparents, you know, whether it be, you know, paying for college, buying a home, starting a family, raising a child. Make things worse, life's getting more expensive. Thank you, inflation. Thank you, Richard Nixon, for taking us off the gold standard. Students who attended four-year public colleges graduate with an average of $27,000 in student loans. That was in 2017. The same year, those who earned their degree from a four-year private college graduated with an average of roughly $33,000 in loans. Home prices are increasing as well. Between 2017 and 18, monthly mortgage payments on medium-priced homes grew by 12%. As we discussed several weeks ago, Americans are still struggling to stretch their paychecks to cover several financial priorities all at the same time. For many, that means putting some goals on hold. For others, it means deciding whether to pay the electric or a doctor or hospital bill. Unison found in its annual survey that 83% of non-homeowners said student debt is the reason they can't afford to buy a home right now. Generally, they're delaying buying a house by around 7 years because of it.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And of course, those that are making the 4%, you know, 2019 versus 2009 are the ones that are raising a family. And so how hard is it for them from 25 to 54 years of age? If you adjust it for inflation, that's how much more they're making, 4%. Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot, ladies and gentlemen, for a family of 4+. And again, this is why we see so many families, you know, they hold back having children for a later date because it's more and more difficult. But again, no one addresses the problem. No, and that's how all of our problems are. Nobody looks at the real cause of it. They just slap a Band-Aid on it or, you know, feed us a bunch of propaganda to tell us how well we're doing. And our purchasing power continues to decline. And then you have to deal with Wall Street, you know, behind the scenes. You know, they're trying to clean up $10 trillion worth of derivatives in a market that's getting poor reviews. Well, if they admit to 10, that's probably how many. We know there's a lot more derivatives out there than 10. I guess this is just a bad... Is this just the bad segment of the derivatives, Dave? Just a fraction of the derivatives that Wall Street declares as, you know, that it's getting poor reviews, even though there's
there could
hundreds
be some,
of trillions, hundreds of trillions. Sure.
Maybe globally, but, you know, the U.S. banks.
We have more than 10 trillion.
10 trillion is plausible.
We have out of the, well, I know we have more than 10 trillion.
Okay. Well,
but
whatever.
But anyway, this is what they're worried about: $10 trillion. So, from Washington to London, they've made it clear that a fix in the industry came up with this year to crack down on these shady deals. It just falls short of what is needed. And of course, when we've been through this story before, back in 2008, when we talked about the scrutiny The focus of the scrutiny is credit default swaps. These instruments are tainted by the 2008 financial crisis that traders used to cash in when companies missed bond payments. And the pushback hasn't been subtle. You know, staff members at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the U.S. main derivatives regulator, prepared an internal analysis in recent weeks. It concluded hedge funds can still profit from CDS, the credit default swaps, in numerous ways by engineering questionable corporate actions. The agency has shared its findings with other regulators.
Well, just the other month, the SEC and the UK's Financial Conduct Authority joined the CFTC in issuing a rare joint public statement, which the watchdogs pledged to work together to combat what they characterize as opportunistic strategies involving these credit default swaps. And the CFTC took the extraordinary step of hosting a July podcast for agency officials to discuss red flags they're seeing in the market and how deals are proliferating, you know, with seven occurring in just the past 6 months. The change the industry proposed in March addressed situations where hedge funds have enticed stressed companies to miss bond payments they could otherwise make. But other trades continue to pop up, including instances of funds persuading corporations to alter debt terms to impact the swap prices. Now, for someone on the other side of a trade, you know, such strategies can feel, you know, like manipulation that costs them a lot of money. And a lot of money it does, Melody.
Yes, yes, it does. And that's because even minimal charges to companies' credit profiles can lead to substantial earnings in the CDS market, where valuations are based on the perceived likelihood of businesses defaulting or going bankrupt. So this heightened security, notable at a time when authorities are dialing back financial rules, shows regulators are losing patience and might take action to force the industry to change its ways. Good luck with that.
Indeed.
Yeah. I have no confidence, no faith in, you know, any of when, you know, Wall Street is, you know, wanting to have some of their areas looked at and so forth. Anyway, I'm just, you know, what's next?
Well, you know, once the top dog of economic data points, the labor market was little more than an afterthought last week when Jerome Powell rattled off the list of factors that could influence monetary policy the rest of this year, taking a backseat to trade, manufacturing activity, and the economy outside the U.S. So market reaction to Friday's jobs report here in the U.S. shows just how little the current employment situation matters to either monetary policy or investors, with stock futures, treasuries, and the dollar barely budging. And no wonder. I mean, if they'd get the number right, if they'd stop deceiving, I mean, talk about manipulation, the deception, by always reporting this headline U3 unemployment number, 3.6%, for example. I know this isn't exactly the jobs report we're talking about, but it's related to the unemployment rate, as opposed to the closer to real unemployment rate, the so-called U6. You know, that's closer to, you know, that's actually over 7%. That includes, you know, discouraged workers and those who have just stopped looking altogether. You know, there's hardly the kind of buildup of anticipation for this for the Friday's report that usually occurs before jobs report day, especially after the president shifted the focus to trade the day before by announcing the new tariffs on Chinese imports. Even though the government's reported unemployment is at its 50-year low, 3.7%, it hasn't been strong enough to keep growth from decelerating while the trade wars keep intensifying.
You know, there was a major report this week that showed that the U.S. share of global gross domestic product shrunk from 22% in 1990 to 15% today. So while the share of this U.S. corporate profits coming from overseas ventures has risen from 18% in 1990 to 22% today. So that just means that the more tariffs that are imposed on U.S. trading partners, the more potential damage that could occur to the U.S. economy. And so we'll have to continue to follow an index a widely followed index showing on Thursday that the global manufacturing sector is contracting. The bond market is pricing in two more rate cuts for this year, just like it had before the jobs report. You know what, Dave? I'm reading a lot that it doesn't necessarily mean. I'm not so sure. Unless the markets truly fall out of bed, I don't think he's going to cut anymore this year. Because I saw an interview with him, and I was reading on some of the things that he was saying. And it was like, well, just because we did one, and it's really no different than what Greenspan used to do. He used to cut by quarter point, then hold, then maybe increase it by a quarter point, then hold. And, you know, he just wouldn't keep, you know, rising over a long period of time or dropping. So
yeah, a lot can happen between now and, say, September, when I think they're more likely to make a move. And they could, like you said, depending what happens between on it, choose to leave it alone and, you know, review it again at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he was pretty forceful in his interview saying that, hey, we did it this time, but that doesn't mean we're going to keep dropping them. But of course, everybody knows that if the Dow drops 5,000 points, you better believe he's going to do a rate cut, but I don't think it's going to make much difference. But now the Federal Reserve is trying to create a real-time payment system.
Competing with Wall Street. That's what I like to see.
Well, they're planning to create... Well, I'm not so sure I want the Fed to compete with Wall Street.
Trust me. That was tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, okay. But they're looking to create a real-time payment system that's going to compete with a venture that is formed by big banks. It's the FedNow service is set to begin operating by 2023 or 2024. Will modernize the payments infrastructure by allowing money to be moved almost instantly at every hour of every day. Now the system, and I want to talk a little bit more about this on Wednesday. Because, you know, they talk about how good it would give consumers and businesses more flexibility in managing money. But I see red flags. So if customers can manage it, I don't know. We'll find out. Let's talk more about this on Wednesday, Dave. I want to thank you for joining me today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night. And God bless.
Bye-bye.
Got me a wealthy man.